Pittsburgh, I love you. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Cephalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubcephalo.com. Accelerando Music Conservatory, providing students young and old the opportunity to sharpen their talents in music, theater, and dance. Stop by the conservatory in Cannonsburg or at accelerandopittsburgh.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, providing laughs nearly every night of the week, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Tonight's guest, Joe Wose,
yes.
Executive Director and Founder of the Toonzeum here in downtown Pittsburgh. Thanks for chatting with us today.
My pleasure.
We're going to start off with an article from a headline from one of our fine Pittsburgh media publications. And that headline is, Allegheny County approves yarning of the Warhol Bridge. The Knit the Bridge event will include 1,256 individuals creating 850 knitted panels to be draped the length of the bridge. Your thoughts on this,
well,
sir?
Well, I've been following that particular thread online. And, you know, I enjoy good yarn as much as the next guy.
Did you come prepared for this?
No, I didn't. Sorry.
You are quick. You are quick,
okay,
man.
I was just sort of stringing you along.
I think
it's exciting. I love anything that takes us into sort of combining more traditional arts with alternative uses. I love the idea of knitting a bridge. I think it's fantastic.
No, it's great.
Anything that's going to sort of take, you know, these art forms we think of very, you know, little old ladies sitting there, you know, on a rocking chair and take it and just explode it in a way that puts it, you know, just plays with our expectations, I think is fantastic. So I think it's a wonderful program. I think it's going to be very exciting for Pittsburgh. And there's a great thing about, you know, these quirkier art forms in Pittsburgh is, you know, about half the city sees it as, oh my God, it's so exciting, and the other half doesn't get it.
Yeah.
And that other half that doesn't get it, well, it's our job to educate them. And
I like
to show
that perspective.
How fun this can be. So there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's, look, if there's not half those people who don't get it, then there's really not as much role for us, because part of our role is to educate.
Absolutely.
So we need the uneducated, otherwise we're out of work.
I can't wait till it happens. You know, my only thought in considering it is that maybe fall would have been, you know, a nice time for it. You know, bundling up scarves
actually,
and things.
I think tying it into Mr. Rogers' birthday would have been fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just knit a giant cardigan over the bridge.
That is brilliant.
Cardigan and just,
they've got to have you on the board.
Yeah, they should. More places should have me on more boards.
In fact, we're going to send this interview to them and, you know, give them some suggestions, because I think that is absolutely brilliant. This can probably be an annual thing.
Yeah, I think we just keep the bridge knitted. That's
absolutely.
It.
Or keep replenishing.
We don't have enough bridges.
Or enough knitters in Pittsburgh.
One knitted, one, you know, graffiti, one, I don't know, some kids with some crayons, but just each one a different art form on the bridge.
I'm trying to visualize it, and I'm kind of having a tough time kind of literally picturing it, because they said these panels are going to be draped like the length of the bridge, and I'm thinking up and down, but maybe that is, you know, side to side, but I'm wondering if boats passing underneath will have to kind of go through
that
a curtain.
Would be awesome if there's a little, they pulled it back, you know, and they go through.
That's classy.
Put a zipper.
Oh my God, that's even classier.
I think you'd be really nervous about, you know, if you see a giant zipper open.
I believe was invented here in Pittsburgh, by the way, or in the surrounding region.
I think you're right.
So you see, it all comes back full circle. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
So I wonder, what is it about Pittsburgh that really makes it conducive to things like this, or to a cartoon museum for that matter?
Pittsburgh is sort of the birthplace of pop culture. Your first movie theater, the Nickelodeon, your first radio station, first public television station. Stephen Foster, the first pop musician, you know, long before Madonna and all these others.
Yeah.
Stephen Foster was the first one to use popular music for the masses. So you have all of these sort of popular art forms that originated out of Pittsburgh. And I think part of the reason for that is the sort of traditional blue-collar work ethic. And yet, this acceptance of, you know, new art forms as being, oh, this is for us. You know, we had Carnegie and everything creating these wonderful museums saying, this is art. And you had sort of the steelworkers going, all right, that's art. But you know what I like? You know, I like Jack Benny. I like, you know, I like to listen to my radio.
Rochester. So,
yes. And we really, this idea that we embrace pop art forms and recognize them as art forms more than any other city. And I think that, more than anything else, is what gave rise and birth to people like Andy Warhol.
What are your thoughts on Warhol as an artist?
You know, Andy Warhol as an artist, I think he was brilliant in that, you know, he became what he caricatured. And I think that happens in a lot of cases. I mean, he became what he was parodying. I think Warhol really had ambitions to be a cartoonist too. And if you look at his early works, you can see that. And he was strongly influenced by people like Walt Disney. And you see that he was really trying to lampoon the art world. He was really trying to parody mass production. And yet here he was now, you know, after that mass producing satire, really. So he became what he caricatured. And I think that was sort of his goal, was to ultimately become a caricature. He became exactly what he, you know, was making fun of.
Well, described that way, I mean, it does sound more like a cartoon.
Oh, he was a cartoon character. he was, with the glasses and the hair, but he set out, he created that character in the same way you create the cartoon. And yeah, he was just right for a caricature, and he did it, but he did it himself. He didn't wait around for people to make fun of him. He did it first.
So what technically is the definition of a cartoon? Because I would say it has to involve animation, drawing.
It covers so many mediums and genres. Comic books, comic strips, animation, anime, video games, greeting cards, children's book illustration, magazine illustration. I mean, the list goes on and on. I have come up with a pretty simple definition, because it's hard to cover all of that. But cartoons, generally speaking, not always, but generally speaking, do two very contrary things. They exaggerate and they simplify. They exaggerate certain features, concepts, and ideas, and yet they simplify the shadow, lines, and texture into an easily recognizable iconography. They're really dealing in iconography. We're creating simple representations of a character, concept, or idea that is immediately recognizable. So that, I think, sums up what cartoons sort of do in their art form and how to distinguish them from, say, you know, realism and painting, that sort of thing.
So here you sit, executive director of the Toonzeum.
Yes.
So you're kind of like the real life version of the king of cartoons from Pee-wee's Playhouse, in a way.
Yes, I do kind of feel that way sometimes. I feel like I'm very much in a cartoon world. It is not uncommon for, on a daily basis, to have, you know, someone who come in who's a lawyer looking to buy some comic books for his son, and or to have a giant life-size furry raccoon in the Toonzeum who just walks in as if it's, you know,
welcome to Pittsburgh.
And and that's, you know, part of, again, that's part of Pittsburgh, is we have Anthrocon here, we have Tekoshikon here, we have sort of these quirky group of people. And you know, as conservative as Pittsburgh can be at times, it's also very accepting.
Absolutely.
It has a wonderful, totally all-encompassing acceptance driven by absolute indifference of, I don't care what you do, go ahead. I don't care what you do. What do you want? You want to dress up like a giant squirrel?
Anything,
whatever floats your boat, you go right ahead.
French fries on salad, anything goes in this city.
Anything you want, you just go right ahead. Doesn't bother me. And so that's why he says, you know, I think Pittsburgh really, I'm surprised it's taking us this long. I thought, you know, Pittsburgh would be one of the first to legalize gay marriage. All someone had to do is go get a marriage license. They go, nah, do whatever you want. It's fine. It doesn't bother
me. And now that's kind of what they're doing. I mean, you've heard in the news lately. They're just like, go ahead, dude.
That's the idea, is we really won't. We don't have that strong a conviction to things. If you want to do it, it's okay.
Yins just have a good time and be safe.
Yins want to get married, yins go on, it's fine. You want to dress up, go, whatever you want to do. So I think it's sort of wonderful that we have that absolute total lack of conviction.
lack of conviction.
Is a wonderful thing. There's something to be said for sitting on a couch and watching cartoons.
We've got to call the Tourism Bureau about that. I think that needs to be on flags.
Total lack of conviction.
I would buy that shirt, you know?
Yeah,
and I'd be proud of that, too.
But that helps us. That lack of conviction actually helps us a lot because it says, you know what? No, I won't be defined. Mm. I won't take this role on and say, that's what we're going to be. I will no longer stand up and say, no, we're a steel town and that's it. You know, no, we can be whatever we need to be.
And that's really how that translates.
And that's how that translates. So we view, you know, convictions, dedicated, hardworking, doing what, well, we've had that. We did that.
Now it's time to party.
Now it's time to just say, hey, whatever goes, goes. Want to do this? Let's do that. No, that's not a good idea. Let's try this. Pittsburgh is constantly trying these ways to reinvent itself and not having to stick with one. And I think that is the reinvention.
Are you from Pittsburgh?
I am. I'm born and bred in Pittsburgh. Not where I was buttered, but I was born and bred right here. I grew up in Braddock.
Great. Now, as founder of the Toonsium, what was your inspiration for this organization?
I had gone out, I'd been a storyteller and cartoonist for years, traveling all around the country. I was invited to perform at the Charles M. Schulz Museum for their opening in Santa Rosa, California. Charles M. Schulz, creator Snoopy, one of my heroes. So I got invited out there, I was very flattered and honored. I saw this museum, the third largest museum in the world dedicated to a single artist. First, the Andy Warhol Museum in Pittsburgh.
Charles M. Schulz, third largest in the world.
Museum dedicated to a single individual.
Wow. That's a little trivia. I didn't know that.
Saw it, was astounded. Went down to San Francisco while on this tour, went to their cartoon art museum, and immediately recognized this is it. This is the next movement in the museum world. I don't know what's taken the U.S. so long, frankly. You go to Europe, Brussels alone, one city in Belgium, has 8 museums dedicated to comics and cartoons.
Wow.
Comics and cartoons are considered high art throughout all of Europe and Asia. The United States, where many of these art forms originated or certainly developed, it's still treated as something for kids. We got to get past that. And we've got to start embracing it as art. It's one of these things we're always worried about the rest of the world passing us up. They've done it. They've already passed us up in this genre, this medium.
And as we've learned by these lawyers that are coming in and getting comic books for their son, we know it isn't just for kids based on that alone.
It absolutely was never intended for kids.
So why do you think it gets that stigma?
Saturday morning cartoons. Yeah. It's actually really simple. I mean, the way that came about was Betty Boop was for adults. Popeye was for adults. Looney Tunes was for adults. The funny pages you read every Sunday were created so that people would read the advertisements in the back of the paper. So they put the cartoons back there. Kids don't buy advertisements. They don't do anything. It was for adults. What happened in the 1950s with the rise of television, TV sets were in every home. They had this void on Saturday mornings. Nobody was waking up to watch anything on Saturday mornings. Well, they didn't want to invest in producing programming. So they went back to looked at all these old Looney Tunes, all these old Popeye cartoons especially. Well, they had rather run in the theater, so they were doing nothing with them. They realized they could buy, every single Popeye cartoon for dirt cheap, put a clown on the TV in the morning to introduce the cartoons, and boom, Saturday mornings were invented. Suddenly, kids were waking up at 6 a.m. to watch cartoons and buy Captain Crunch cereal.
You've just shattered my reality.
That's
my concept of Saturday mornings. Wow.
For kids.
So it was almost like those infomercials they run in the middle of the night, just filler.
It was just filler.
Wow.
And then after that, you saw the Disney take a turn away from sort of, Disney... Their early cartoons, actually, even Snow White, has a pretty dark side.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, all their cartoons, frankly, have, the mother is killed off in the first couple minutes, unless there's an evil stepmother. There's always no father. It's a depressing world.
Disney's just downright sadistic, actually.
No family values whatsoever, because it's all broken homes.
Okay? Yeah, yeah.
But once that sort of happened, they realized kids were now watching cartoons. That's when they started to soften that image and get that sort of Disney that we know. So, cartoons weren't for kids, they're for adults. And then I grew up with that Saturday morning. So I love cartoons. I think it's one of the great joys in life that this newer generations are missing.
Yeah.
Is the death of Saturday morning.
I miss it.
Yeah.
And now that I know it was kind of a sham to begin with, like I'm lost.
Yeah, it's really conflicting feelings, Pittsburgh was actually the first city, one of the first cities in North America to drop Saturday morning cartoons.
How interesting. And now,
the news.
Is it the first in the country to have a Toonzeum?
It is not the first. It's the first to have a Toonzeum.
Okay.
But it's one of the first to have a cartoon art museum.
We're going
to
go with that.
Yeah.
So, once again, full circle.
Full circle with Pittsburgh.
Well, great. So, and right here downtown, Liberty Avenue.
Yes.
Very central.
Yeah, and it's sort of this block, the 900 block, has sort of taken it from red light to green light. I mean, this was the red light district. It's a very gritty, seedy, wonderful part of the city. And it has really transformed. You have the best jazz club in Pittsburgh. You have some of the quirkiest bars. You have Pride Fest, Anthrocon, the Comic Arts Fest. You know, if you want to talk about a block that represents the word liberty, this is it. Everything from Bricolage, their sort of alternative theater, to mm-hmm. the Toonzeum and Freedom of the Press, to protesters in front of Planned Parenthood every Saturday. It is all about liberty here.
So if somebody can get through the crowds, what can they expect when they come here to the Toonzeum?
When it comes to the Toonzeum, you can, we say it's just like any other art museum, except a lot smaller, but the art on the wall are old friends. These are characters you recognize and you love. I mean, certainly Snoopy is recognized in more parts of the world than the Mona Lisa. So these are iconic, legendary characters. And we're also going to introduce you to some new friends. We're going to introduce you to cartoonists from Turkey. We're going to introduce you to concepts and ideas through political cartoons. We're going to try and really get you in here. It's called broccoli and cheese, is the way we view our philosophy. Mickey Mouse, Snoopy, that's all the cheese. Educational stuff, that's the broccoli underneath that we really want you to take part in. So we want to get you through the door. Once you're here, we're going to educate you whether you like it or not.
Okay. Now, do you have an opportunity to showcase Pittsburgh artists?
We do. We actually showcase a lot of Pittsburgh artists. Rob Rogers, who's the editorial cartoonist for the Post-Gazette, feature him frequently. We've had art by Ed Pisker on our walls, who is a wonderful comic book artist, Jim Rugg, Ron Friends, and the list goes on and on. And then we get artists here every single day, kids and adults who leave behind drawings to put up on our wall of fame. So, you know, we expect people, they come here and they leave feeling like they're cartoonists, because they are.
Now, what cartoon character do you relate to the most? Not necessarily the one that you would want to be.
Not necessarily.
Who's your cartoon counterpart?
I think I relate a lot to Bugs Bunny, and not because I'm a cross-dresser.
he wore a lot of things, to be fair.
But okay. Bugs Bunny, I think I relate to the most. There was just sort of this, you know, early on he had sort of this wild abandonment that just, you know, everything was just frivolous to him. And I think that was the way I was a lot, but there's this sort of this great personality and wit within there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain intellect to Bugs Bunny. We don't always see it, but I think Bugs Bunny's very sharp.
Oh yeah.
It's a sharp sense of humor. It's more than slapstick. So I think that's why Bugs Bunny would probably be one of them.
Good. Yeah, I've thought about this myself. I don't know. I can tell you what ones I like. I remember I used to get a kick out of Mr. Magoo. I think the concept of Magoo is hilarious.
Yes, any cartoon that took handicaps and made it, you know, whimsical fun for the whole family, with one of the dirtiest performers, Jim Backus, of all time, I think you've got just magic, right? Lightning in a bottle.
Well, we could all relate to that because that's how we're going to end up someday, you know, fumbling around.
I think, you know, that's one of the things that has killed a lot of the great creativity in cartoons is political correctness. Is we'll never have, you know, Mr. Magoo or even Speedy Gonzales has been banned in a lot of areas. Porky Pig because he stutters.
Oh, I would think maybe because obesity, but good point there,
Joe. It's because he stutters. They've actually had protests.
But the fact that I would even think that just shows you what political correctness has done to my mind.
We're so worried about it. It's just, you know, every year there's a kid who jumps off of the roof of a garage and they blame Superman, you know?
For not saving him?
No. But there's so many, you know, every time someone imitates something, they blame cartoons for this, and it's and comics. Comics are still being banned in libraries all over the country.
Oh, yeah.
It's they need to all sort of wise up and think, maybe my kid didn't jump off a building because he was imitating Superman. Maybe I'm just a bad parent. It's just a possibility.
There you go.
Possibility.
There you go.
Kids jumping off buildings, maybe you're not doing something right.
But, you know, I'm seeing a lot of these classic cartoons getting a second life.
Yes.
And maybe even third or fourth, because when you think of the Looney Tunes, Bugs Bunny, for example, that's timeless. Snoopy is timeless. Yeah. So they kind of reinvent themselves somehow. Maybe it's just that they're in good hands.
They're just, certain characters are universal. Snoopy and Charlie Brown are a great example. Snoopy is who we all want to be. Charlie Brown is who we all are. I mean, we're all sort of this
downtrodden,
pathetic, the world is against us. Snoopy's that wild, I can do whatever I want, go wherever I want through my imagination, I can fly in a doghouse, whatever you want to do, Snoopy can do. Charlie Brown really, though, that's that grounded, life sucks, kind of attitude. And I think we're realistically, that constant thing in cartoons of some of them represent who we want to be, some of them represent who we really are.
Oh, yeah.
I think Winnie the Pooh is a great example. Winnie the Pooh is a great example. I mean, every character in there is a major mental disorder.
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
You have Winnie the Pooh, the compulsive overeater, Tigger with ADD. You have Owl with delusions of grandeur, Piglet who's neurotic, Eeyore who's a manic depressive, and then Christopher Robin's the worst of all. He's schizophrenic. He thinks his stuffed animals can talk. But the secret to its success is each of us identifies strongly with one of those characters.
Oh, yeah.
If not all of them.
And that, for example, what you've said is actually absolutely right. As a child, I mean, I loved watching it, but now to see it, that's what I see through adult eyes. I'm like, I would not ever want to be in the same room with these people or animals.
That would be an awful dinner party.
It'd be hell in a way. Yeah. I'd do an awful dinner party. I can't imagine. Yeah, we've got Winnie the Pooh just like, eating the whole turkey.
Gorging everything and,
But yeah, we can relate to them. I often have droopy dog Mondays, for example. That's me on a Monday morning. Droopy dog, who I always got a kick out of too. But see, even for someone like him, I think there could be a second life, maybe doing commercials for cosmetic surgery.
There's a lot of options. I think, Tigger Ritalin ads or something. Each of them has something they could do.
Yes. This might be an exhibit. This might be a theme for something here.
Everything's an exhibit. That's everything we look at. I'm like, that would make a great exhibit.
I kind of want to adopt that as a motto for Berg Vivant. Everything is an exhibit. That's fantastic. Well, the space is absolutely gorgeous, and we are here in the Lou Scheimer Gallery. Who is Lou Scheimer?
Lou Scheimer is a legend. And unfortunately, I don't think enough people know his name. Lou Scheimer is the founder of Filmation Studios. Filmation was the producers behind The Archies, animated Batman and Robin, Fat Albert, He-Man, She-Ra. The list goes on and on, over 100 different shows. And he was from Pittsburgh. He grew up in Squirrel Hill. Lived here until about his early 20s, and then moved out to LA and started the studio. 2 years ago, when we opened up our expanded, we added a second gallery. We said, who are we going to name this after? And immediately I thought, let's name this after Lou Scheimer. And I called his office as I said, I'd like to speak to Lou Scheimer. And he said, this is Lou.
Yeah.
I told him, who I was. And we talked for about 2 hours. And I said, I want to invite you to Pittsburgh to come. We're going to want to name this gallery after you. And he bought a plane ticket and flew out here the next day.
That is awesome.
I mean, not quite the next day, but it was about 2 weeks later. He flew out here to be here for the ribbon cutting. We cut the ribbon with one of He-Man's swords.
That nice
but yeah,
touch.
Yeah, so a Pittsburgh legend that I don't think people know. This was from Pittsburgh.
So, clearly, I think, even in just that, but, throughout our conversation, you've stated in so many ways the importance, why a toonzeum, why a cartoon museum. So, but in a sentence or two, the importance of having this museum dedicated to cartoon art in Pittsburgh.
I think cartoons are so important because they really hold up a mirror and say, here's who we are. We're able to do that through the distance of humor and caricature, because it's just enough distance. It's the, policy of Aesop and his fables. If I got just enough distance from the king by using, a chicken or an owl or whatever, I'm safe. And that's what we do. I think the other side of that is, Salvador Dali once had a quote, so little of what could happen actually does. And cartoons say, so little of what could happen does in the world of cartoons. Infinite possibilities. We can do anything in a cartoon. And I think that's where you're seeing a lot of the real creativity and imagination shine through. Look, anyone can look at a tree and draw exactly what they see. A cartoonist creates a new kind of tree. A cartoonist sees it as it could be, not as it is. So I think that's it's one of the great areas where we're seeing the most imagination, video game design and animation. We're seeing real creativity of not just copying worlds, but creating new ones. So I think that's going to be, that's very important.
You are wise, Joe. You are very wise. So really, we need to encourage everybody to come down to Toonzeum and, in addition to many things, see themselves.
See themselves. And, you know, I think, you know, we emphasize so much in this world reading and writing. Learn to read, learn to write, learn to speak well, learn to listen well. They're all forms of communication, go hand in hand. And yet your entire life you're going to recognize new visual imagery. Your entire life you're going to encounter new images on billboards and TV and everything. But at some point in most people's lives, they stop creating visual imagery. One of the earliest forms of communication, from cave paintings to hieroglyphics, four-year-olds can express abstract ideas on paper long before they can put them into words, and yet we stop teaching that, we stop learning about it. I think we need museums like this to remind us how important it is, how important that form of communication, how important visual literacy is. Comics are that connection. Comics are the connection between words and pictures, and it's for all ages. So comics aren't for some people, they're for all people.
Here's to cartoon art.
Here's to cartoon.
Cheers. And Joe, thank you so much for chatting with us today.
You make some strong.
Here at the Toonzeum. In closing, we just want to thank again our spectacular strategic partners and sponsors, Cefalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie PA, Accelerando Music Conservatory in Cannonsburg, Arcade Comedy Theater, 811 Liberty Avenue downtown, and Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. This is Brian Edward for Berg Vivant, saying goodnight. See you next time.